you, my brother.
Appreciate
I'm like many pearl. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. And about that ride last year, that was kind of scary. I confessed my sins and your sins and Dr. Smith's sins. And but praise God, we live to tell about it. I want you to turn tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. And I'm excited about hearing Dr. Smith preach here in just a moment. And I always enjoy being with him in meetings. And I enjoy being here. And I love you, Pastor. I thank the Lord for him. He's one of those kind of guys that can do it all. Preach, play, sing, eat. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And appreciate him in the Lord. Appreciate his family so very much. And God is good. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. We had a man visit us online and came to the church. And he'd been backslid on the Lord for a long time. And gotten out of the will of God and met this lady on a business trip in Australia. And married her and brought her back to the Atlanta area. And some of his family reminded him of me in the church. So he came the other day, and he got right with the Lord. And that lady from Australia had never, never been inside of a church of any kind. I'm the first person she ever heard preach a sermon at all. And it just so happened that day I was preaching out of the Bible. And it just so happened that day we were preaching the gospel. And man, she started coming. And one Sunday I preached on about is your name and the book of life. And she come up to me, and I can't talk like them people in Australia do. That's different. And she said, oh, my name is not in no book. My name is not in no book, but I want it in the book. Well, she got her name in the book. She got gloriously saved. And she'd been saved about a week. And this dear man that she's with, married to, his father passed away. And he was just an old-fashioned Christian on the north side of our city. He was 94. And I hadn't spoke to anybody in about a week. And they went in there the day he died and started playing some good old gospel music. And said he started waving at people. And that nurse came in and said, oh my, I believe his morphine's wearing off. We need to hit him again. He said, oh, let him alone. He's about to go home. And he went out praising the Lord. Amen. And that little lady from Australia was at the foot of the bed crying, saying, boy, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. It's real, it's real, it's real. And praise God, I'm glad it is real. Praise God tonight for the goodness of the Lord. The book of Philippians tonight, chapter number 4. We'll read just one verse. And if I preach tonight a couple of hours, Brother Smith will have plenty of time, I'm sure. But Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. I love this. Rejoice in the Lord. And I love this next word. It says, always. And I looked up that little word always, and it means every step of the journey. In and throughout all times. In and under all situations and circumstances. That's not the first time that word is used. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. In and throughout all time, every step of the journey, in and throughout all situations and circumstances. Paul used that word to the Corinthian believers when he said all grace would always abound in all things, in every situation, every circumstance, every step of the journey. And here Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. In and throughout all time, every step of the journey, in and under, surrounding all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. And for double emphasis, he said, Say it with me. And again, I say, rejoice. Now that verse thrills my soul. But when I realize where Paul was, when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this, it means even more to me. He was not on a Caribbean cruise when he wrote this. He was not on Paradise Island in the midst of a vacation. He was in a dark, cold, damp, lonely, disease-infested prison with his back beaten and his hands fast in chains. But in spite of his circumstances, in spite of his surroundings, he knew he had a reason to rejoice. Aren't you glad tonight to a child of God, no matter what it looks like? No matter what it sounds like, no matter what it tastes like, no matter how bad it hurts or how bad it feels, when we rejoice in the Lord, we have a reason to rejoice. I love the little word rejoice. The root word is the word joy. And you know what joy is? It is an inward burst of radiant glory. It is not happiness that comes through happenings, but it is an inward burst of radiant glory. And we know tonight who that radiant glory is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Joy is an inward burst of radiant glory. But you know, when you put R-E on the front of a word, that means you reverse the process. For instance, the last book of the Bible is Revelation. The root word is veil, to cover, but to reveal is to reverse the process, to uncover. Well, think about this little word tonight, rejoice. If the root word is joy, an inward burst of radiant glory, then if you rejoice, you reverse the process. So if joy is an inward burst of radiant glory, then to rejoice is an outward expression of an inward condition. Well, let me say it like this. If joy is an inward burst of radiant glory, then rejoice is an outward explosion of an inward condition. I'm glad tonight, in the midst of circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can express our joy and praise and adoration and worship and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in chapter number 4, he gives us some wonderful reasons why we can rejoice in and throughout all time. If you will tonight, look in verse number 6. There is a reason to rejoice because we have a prayer that settles us. Paul said in this passage tonight, with prayer and thanksgiving, we let our request be made known unto God. Paul was in that prison. And when he couldn't do anything else, he could pray. In fact, you've got to remember he is writing to the church at Philippi. Do you remember where the church at Philippi got birthed? In Acts 16, Paul and Silas is in that little city having a great revival meeting, and heaven's glad and hell is mad. And they come and they take Paul and Silas and they beat them with stripes and they cast them into the inner prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed and sang praises unto God. And I know Elvis sung Jailhouse Rock, but God's the only one that ever rocked one. Man, there was a great earthquake that night. And that Philippian jailer came and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul, not being a hyper-Calvinist, just plainly said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he was saved and his house was saved. And from that prison riot revival, God birthed the church at Philippi. Now Paul is writing those same believers going through the storms and the troubles and the trials of life, and they're wondering, what are we going to do? And Paul said, just do what I did when I was in your city, when I couldn't do anything else. I prayed, and God hears and answers prayer. Aren't you glad tonight in the midst of circumstances, we can pray, and we have a promise that God will hear and answer our prayer. I love the little songs we grew up singing. Y'all sang one while ago. I stood there and cried and thought about my little mom and daddy singing. My daddy would get happy a preacher. He'd say, "Ma, come up here, honey, and let's sing one." And they had three songs they sang, and one of those three was that in times like these. I can see my little mother now. She would take that last line and she'd say, I'm very sure that my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We used to sing this little tune growing up in Sunday school in that little mountain church. God answers prayer in the morning, and God answers prayer at noon, and God answers prayer in the evening to keep our hearts in tune. Aren't you glad Jeremiah 33:3 is still in the inspired book? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I'm glad we can rejoice tonight because we have a prayer that settles us, and we know that God hears and answers our prayer. I love the way he words it in this text. Prayer with thanksgiving. My mom was very strict about coming to the table. We couldn't wear a hat. We came to the table. We had to have our shoes on. We came to the table. Had to have our shirts on when we came to the table. We couldn't sing at the table. We couldn't throw stuff at the table. We couldn't. That's what's wrong with me. I never had any fun growing up. But I remember one night for supper, I said, "Mom, pass me the taters." Now I know up here you spell that with a P, but one day you'll be enlightened and understand it's with a T. I said, "Pass me the taters." And she said, "Oh no, son. We say thank you for the potatoes." And my mama was the kind of person, you had to be careful when you ask a question. You had to make sure they understood you wasn't being a smart aleck. And I said, "Now, Mom," I said, "now look, you give them to me, and then I'll thank you." She said, "Oh, no, it don't work that way around here. You thank me before. You thank me in advance, and you'll get them a lot quicker and a lot nicer." And I'm standing there scratching my head. She said, "Son, I'm trying to teach you something about prayer. Instead of saying, 'Lord, if you'll move this mountain, I will thank you. And Lord, if you'll meet this need, I will thank you.'" She says, "No, you thank God in advance, and you thank God by faith, and you pray and you request with thanksgiving, because whether God does anything else or not, he is still worthy of our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving. He is a good God, and I'm glad his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear." We have a prayer tonight that settles us. Because of that prayer, praise God, we can rejoice in the Lord. Number two, look down at the text in verse number 7. After he says, we pray with prayer and thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. Isn't it amazing that the very next line says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." We have a prayer tonight that settles us, but secondly, we rejoice in the Lord tonight because we have a peace that sustains us. I love what he said in verse 8, not only the peace of God, but he says the God of peace. You know, one of the most wonderful words in the human vocabulary is the word peace. I personally believe tonight that every man desires it, every man wants it, but very few find it, and a lot die without it because they look for it in all the wrong places. And some really don't even know what real peace is. They think peace is the absence of fear, and it's the absence of trouble, and it's the absence of adversity, and it's the absence of trial. But real peace is not the absence of trouble and adversity and trial, but real peace is hope and faith and serenity and calm and assurance in the midst of all the troubles and the trials of life. And I'm glad for as my relationship, I have peace with God, but I'm glad that goes to my fellowship and we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Paul is in that prison cell. They've taken his money. They've tried to take his freedom. They're trying to take his life. But there's something buried deep in the heart of Paul that the Roman soldier's whip can't beat out of him. And it's the deep, settled peace that's in his heart, knowing that his sins had been forgiven and he's right with God and he's got a home in heaven. Peace, wonderful peace that flows from God. I'm glad for the peace of God tonight. There's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the world be raging in the shelter of his arms. We have a peace tonight and it passeth all understanding. It's part of what I call one of those abundant life verses. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and not just life, but have it more abundantly. Psalm 23 is one of those abundant life verses. We don't have just a cup or a full cup, but David said, my cup runneth over. Simon Peter knew something about it when he said, we not only have joy, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Paul said, we don't have just peace, but we have peace that passeth all understanding. And the reason why the world can't explain it is because the world didn't invent it. And because the world didn't invent it, the world didn't give it. And because the world didn't give it, the world cannot take it away. Sweet peace tonight. That's why we rejoice in the Lord always. Praise God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Reasons for rejoicing. Come down, if you will, tonight, number 3, to verse number 13. From this prison cell, with the blood oozing out of his body, Paul says, I tell you tonight, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm glad tonight we have a prayer that settles us and a peace that sustains us. But I'm glad we have a power that strengthens us. Brother Smith, I believe this is one of those verses that's been greatly abused. People say, well, I can do all things. I'm going to stand out in front of a truck. Well, we're going to have you a funeral. Man, I'm going to stand in front of a locomotive because I can do all things. You're going to be a greasy spot if you're a little greasy spot. If you're large, a big old greasy spot. You got to read this verse in the light of the context. Beginning in verse 9, the verse number 12, Paul talks about contentment. He said, I have learned through experience whatsoever state I am therewith to have and be content. Paul said, I have abounded in my life and I've been abased in my life. I've had everything I've needed in my life and I've had things in my life that I couldn't have and seemingly that I didn't have. He said, I know what it is to have and have not. I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to do without. He said, but I tell you what, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if my lot in life today is to walk through the valley of hurt and pain and abased and need, I can do it. I can stand these prison bonds. I can stay in this prison cell. I can rejoice in the Lord no matter of my circumstances because I got a power that works in me and I'm strengthened through the power of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would never tell this illustration if I didn't believe with all my heart I was among friends. Thank God for my one friend. But I grew up in the mid-70s. And I can't help it. I'm confessing. I used to like to watch wrestling. I come from a family that didn't believe that man really went to the moon, but we believed in wrestling. I'm talking the old timey days when it was a comedy show. You know, Haystack Calhoun, Wahoo McDaniel, Blackjack Mulligan. Woo! Three ladies just passed out right there, God bless. Man, I one year for Christmas, Mom and Dad gave me this punching bag. Had some kind of wrestler on it. Man, I learned all them moves. The claw. The full Nelson, the pile drive, the suplex. I even got on the bed one day and was going to do a high dive and ceiling fan caught me right there. I'm the only man in the world ever been whooped by a punching bag. I loved it. One thing about wrestling I always enjoyed, I just enjoyed watching a 300-pound man take a metal chair and slap another 300-pound man upside the head. Let me tell you, if you don't like that, you're messed up. And the only thing to me more awesome than watching a 300-pound man smack another 300-pound man upside the head with a metal chair is for that 300-pound man that just got smacked upside the head with the metal chair to go, it don't hurt me, hit me again. Having it tonight, if a 300-pound man hits you with a metal chair, you going to the doctor? No, I'll take that back. I'm going to the Undertaker. Yes, sir. Gave me this little punching bag. Man, I'd hit that thing. I'd knock it on its back, right back in my face. I'd get behind it, and I'd knock it down on its face, right back up. I'd knock it to the right. I could not keep it down. All my life, I've had an inquisitive mind. That interpreted means I'll stick my nose in your business if I have a good opportunity. So one Saturday morning, I snuck in the kitchen and got one of my mama's butcher knives. And I stalked that thing like a Baptist. And I got him right in the back like a good Baptist. And he did what most good Baptists do when they get stabbed in the back. All the hot air went out, and here he went. And I got to digging around in that bag, and I found the secret. Down on the inside of that bag was a sandbag. About this big and about that thick. In other words, he had something real big and heavy on the inside. And what he had on the inside picked him back up when he got hit on the outside. Oh, it wasn't what he had on the outside, but it was something big on the inside that kept him up and would pick him back up when he'd get knocked down.
I'm telling you tonight, if you're born again by God's Spirit and washed in the blood of God's Son, you have something big and heavy and awesome on the inside. It's the indwelling Christ in you. And when the world hits us and bashes us and suplexes us and pal drives us and figure fours us and full Nelsons us and even puts the sleeper on us, I'm glad there is a strength that comes from within and it rises up, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A power that strengthens us. Paul, how are you going to go through that storm in that Philip? How are you going to make it out of that prison cell, Paul? How are you going to go through them stonings and those beatings and still have your joy? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A reason to rejoice. Lastly tonight, if you will, look in verse number 19. Verse number 19, Paul gives us a reason to rejoice. We have a prayer that settles us, a peace that sustains us, a power that strengthens us. But in verse 19, we have a provision that supplies our every need. He says in verse 19 tonight, and I love this language, but my God. Boy, I'm glad for that personal relationship tonight. My God. Boy, I'm glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad? I'm glad Paul told the church at Galatia that he loved the church. Boy, I'm glad it's more than he loved the world and it's more than he loved the church. Paul said he loved me. He loved me. The Lord is my shepherd, but my God shall supply all your need. And notice the words of the text tonight. It is not out of, but according to his riches in glory. You say, what's this train out of and according to? How many of you have a checking account? The reason why I say that, the millennials in our church don't write checks. My son and daughter don't write checks. They don't mind their old man writing one, but write checks. But if you write a check, it's paid to the order of so-and-so, and it's out of. I mean, I remember growing up telling my mom and dad, I'd like to have that. We don't have any money. Write a check. But I had to realize one day it's out of. And if you keep taking out of, you're going to have less than more than you did before you took it out of. If you start with $1,000 and out of that do 100 and out of that do 100, after 10 of those out ofs, it'll be broke. I'm glad when God meets our needs, it's not out of. I'm glad when God meets our needs, he doesn't have less than he did before he met our needs. It's out of his infinite riches and glory. And God's got as much after he meets your need and after he eats my need than he had before he ever met anybody's needs, because he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is an unlimited supply of supplied needs for your life and in mine. And that's why we rejoice tonight, because of the provisions of God. But my God shall supply all your need. The first reference of this is in Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac are going up that mountain. They get to the top of that mountain, and Isaac, I think he's got a legitimate question myself. He said, Father, I see the altar, I see the fire, I see the wood, I see the knife, but I got one question. Where is the lamb? And Abraham turned and looked at that boy through a voice of prophetic faith. Son, God will provide himself a lamb. That word supply, that word provide, is a word that literally means see to it. See to it. Did anybody ever have a parent that say, you need to see to that? You need to see to that. You need to see to that. You need to make sure that, oh, aren't you glad tonight? Our God will see to it. He will make sure that it's done and done complete and done right in your life and in mine, son. God will provide himself a lamb. And Abraham lays that boy on that altar, and I believe in his heart, he took his life. And I believe in the mind of God, he took his life. And as he's going down with that knife, God says, Abraham, Abraham, look behind you, son. And behind him, caught in the thicket by his horns, was this ram. And the Bible said, offered it up in the stead of his son. God provided the need on time, in time. And he does it every time, just like he does all the time. Oh, man, I'm glad my God supplied. Boy, in my mind, I see that day. There's a large mountain there. And on this side of that mountain, there's Abraham and Isaac by faith walking to the top. But on the other side, there's a ram walking to the top. The ram can't see them, and they can't see the ram. I'm about to have a spell right here. But God sees both sides of the mountain. He sees both sides of the real estate. The prayer's on one side and the answer's on the other side. The need is on one side, the provision is on the other side. Oh, my soul above the want is on one side and the satisfaction is on the other side. And God takes Abraham and Isaac in one hand and the ram in the other hand, and the need and provision, they meet together on top of Providence Mountain. I'm glad that my God will supply all of our needs. Reason why I know that, I see it every Sunday. We'd been in our church about 25 years. And we'd done all that we could do. We just didn't have the land and have the buildings, and more than that, didn't have the money. Isn't it amazing? The people don't mind if the hospital and the doctor and the lawyers and the mechanics and the mortgage company gets money, but well, don't talk about money at church. We had some real needs. I stood up one Sunday night and was just bearing my burden to our Sunday night crowd. I call our Sunday night crowd the people who really care. You'll get that in a minute. Way in the back, some little old lady. And to this day, I don't know who she was. I got an idea. She just said, practice what you preach, Brother Joe, them faith sermons. I'd start to say, be quiet. But she was right. Make a long story short, just 3.5 miles across two subdivisions was a church with buildings and land and property and no people. We had people and no buildings and lands that we needed. I'd never met those people. They'd never met us. I'd never heard of them. They'd never heard of us. Our churches had never fellowshiped together. We just didn't know of each other. I'd never even rode by that church. Not the first time. It's off a beaten path. And one Saturday night, I got a call from a brother Bob. He said, are you Brother Joe? He said, I think we need each other. He said, we got land and buildings and no people. And I hear you got people, not enough buildings and lands. He said, if you come over here and take it over, we'll give you everything we got. Of course, he didn't tell me about that 1.1 million they owed. I found that out later. But after we sold our little cracker box of a building, it all worked out. And I got up in that church that night when I was telling our people, folks, listen, I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not a broker. I'm not even a good administrator. We need a $5 million miracle. Well, I just want to tell you, yesterday I preached my soul out Sunday morning and Sunday night, and our $5 million miracle. I had a real estate guy call me. He says, oh, Dr. Arthur, I heard about that deal you brokered. I said, you heard what? He said, oh man, I heard about that deal you guys brokered. Man, will you come and work for me? I said, Joe T. Lane, let me tell you something. I didn't broker anything. I didn't conjure anything. I didn't minister anything. I said, there was a God on one side of the mountain that saw the other side of the mountain, and God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. It's called the divine provisions of God. And I've come to tell some Christian tonight, whatever your need is, God will see to it. He will meet that need. He will provide. He will supply. Brother, not out of, but according to. Everything's all right in the Father's house tonight. And He gave us a reason to rejoice. You know, a lot of people say, don't do as I do, do as I say. You ever heard that? Well, Paul could not only say, do as I say, but you do as I do. Because when Paul was in that little city of Philippi, that's exactly what he did. He sang praises unto God. And he showed them that in and throughout all time, in and out and under, all surrounding and circumstances, there's a joy and a peace and a relationship with God that the world didn't give. And the world cannot take it away. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, the blessing of your word. Help us tonight, Lord, regardless of the circumstances, to realize tonight our faith and our happy and our victory and our joy is in you. And we love you tonight. Because you're real to us. We give you praise and glory. Bless my dear brother, Lord, as he comes to preach tonight. Anoint him afresh and anew with his calling. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.